by me, Sid.
All right. Mr. Beltrandi, is the tape on? Just want to make sure. Okay, great. I'm going to call the Tax Committee to order. And I should say, when we start, I talked to Representative Davids, and, you know, we're hoping that this will be a short committee meeting and we'll be done early. And I communicated with the Department of Revenue last night that we just want to kind of clip through the technical and policy bills. And I'll just say, and I'll say it again when everyone gets here, that what we've done historically, I think both sides of the aisle, is on the technical and policy bill. We just have the committee hear them, and then generally anything that is becomes controversial, and ideally these bills shouldn't be, we usually just take them out. And so the technical and policy bills will travel in the omnibus tax bill, so we won't vote on them today. We'll just lay them over, but we're hoping just a quick, you know, run through and then some questions, and hopefully we can adjourn early today. So we don't have a quorum, so we can't act on anything, and I'm just going to go ahead and just start with Ms. Starr. So welcome to the committee. Which bill would you like to walk through first?
Madam Chair, I'll start with the policy bill. This is Jenny Starr. I'm the Senior Manager for Tax Policy at the Department of Revenue, and I want to start by thanking the Chair on hearing these bills today and for staff for their feedback and openness in working with us on these bills. Starting with House File 2277, the policy bill, starting with Article 1, Section 1 changes the deadline for the department to file its annual adjusted net tax capacity report from June 15th to June 30th. This section is effective January 1, 2014. Section 2 allows local boards of appeal and equalization to meet at a central location within the county, which in some counties is more accessible than the office of the clerk. This is effective the day following final enactment. Section 3 changes the date by which the local boards of appeals and equalization must provide proof that they complied with training requirements from December 1st to February 15th. This section is effective beginning with LBAE meetings held after December 31st, 2014. Moving to Article 2, the miscellaneous article, Section 1 allows the commissioner to make a personal liability assessment within 1 year of a final administrative or judicial determination of the underlying business tax. In some cases, current law limits the commissioner in making such an assessment before these amounts are finally determined. This section is effective the day following final enactment. Section 2 changes the due dates of the fourth quarter withholding tax return from February 28th to January 31st, or to February 10th if all withholding deposits for the quarter have been timely made. The change coincides with the due dates of the fourth quarter federal withholding tax return. This is effective for returns due after January 1st, 2016. Section 2 also relieves some seasonal employers from having to file a withholding tax return for periods of anticipated inactivity unless they pay wages during that period. This change is effective for wages paid after December 31st, 2015. Unless there are questions, I'll move on to Article 1 of the technical bill, which is House File 2278. Sections 1 and 2 remove obsolete modifications for intangible drilling costs incurred in taxable years prior to 1987. This is in our corporate franchise tax area, and it's effective for taxable years beginning after December 31st, 2013. Section 3 removes a phrase in the corporate franchise tax area made obsolete by prior year legislative changes to the sales factor. This is effective the day following final enactment. Article 2 is our property tax article. Starting with Section 1, there are a number of sections that change the term class rate to classification rate so that the same terms are used throughout the chapter. The definition of class rate is repealed, and cross-references to rates are also removed and the rate itself inserted. These sections are effective beginning with assessment year 2014. Starting with Section 4, there are a number of sections amended to allow county assessors to make clerical corrections relating to personal property valuations and to state-assessed property values. These sections also allow the commissioner to make clerical corrections to state-assessed values until December 31st of the assessment year. These sections are effective the day following final enactment. Section 12 makes the general rule regarding valuation of land with a conservation easement apply to conservation easements generally, and also amends regarding the 2013 legislation so that the general rule applies only to easements entered into after May 23rd, 2013. Section 12 is effective the day following final enactment. Section 32 clarifies that land classified as 2C managed forest land cannot be enrolled in the Sustainable Forest Incentive Act program. This is effective for certifications and applications due in 2014 and thereafter. Skipping ahead to the repealer section 45, this also involves the SFIA program. Here, sections containing obsolete formulas for SFIA payments are repealed. These repealers are effective the day following final enactment. Going back to section 33, this corrects an internal reference to a repealed subdivision. It's effective retroactively to the date of the underlying law change. Sections 43 and 45 involve TILT payments. These sections clarify payments for townships and wildlife management land. This is effective the day following final enactment. Moving to Article 3, the sales tax article, Section 1 provides some annual appropriation language for the E911 fee and the Prepared Wireless Telecommunications Access Minnesota fee. This is effective retroactively to the original enactment date. Section 2 amends session law to provide an appropriate effective date. And Section 3 repeals two rules. The first regarding telegraphic orders by florists, which became obsolete in 2011 after a law change in this area. And the second regarding aircraft registration is obsolete because aircrafts now register through the Office of Aeronautics at the Department of Transportation. This section is effective the day following final enactment. There are two sections in Article 4. Section 1 clarifies that the procedures to request abatement apply to all of the items available for abatement, including late file and late payment penalties, related interest, and the additional tax charge. And Section 2 clarifies that dyed biodiesel and dyed biodiesel blends are included in the definition of dyed fuel. That completes the testimony for those bills.
Thank you, Ms. Starr. Perfect. I'm going to ask via the microphone that members who can get here to get a quorum should come now. Because we can't move these bills, members, and we've gone through them both because we don't have a quorum yet. So if some folks could show up to make that possible. I'll just repeat as people are coming in. Representative Davids and I met on this, and these are pretty vanilla bills. That's, you know, how they go. We'll take some questions on them, and my intent is just to lay them over and put them in the omnibus tax bill, except for provisions that are controversial. So we'll ask for public testimony if there is any. But until we have a quorum, with that, I'm going to proceed then and take questions, I guess, on either bill. Representative Slocum.
Madam Chair, I have a really, it's a stupid question, but no questions are stupid. So, dyed biodiesel and dyed biodiesel blends. Would someone please explain to me what that is? I want to know what it is. I have no idea.
Star, do you know what dyed biodiesel is, or do we have to ask some of the greater Minnesota legislators at the table?
Madam Chair, Star. Representative, I'll give it a shot. Okay. What I know is that our current definition defines what it means to be a diesel fuel, and that this refers to petroleum distillates and petroleum blends, and that biodiesel and biodiesel blends are not petroleum-based. So it's a difference in the type. And so we needed to change the way we refer to dyed fuel so that we included these biodiesel blends. That's the best answer I have.
Madam Chair.
Representative Slocum.
Just as a follow-up, why are we dyeing this? I mean, I'm a city kid, okay? I'm sorry. I just don't know this.
Ms. Starr and then Representative Davids.
Madam Chair, Representative.
Please.
My understanding here is that dyed fuel is something that's primarily used for agricultural use and is exempted from some taxes. So we dye it so that we know which fuel is exempt from tax.
Thank you. Representative Davids or Drazkowski?
Well, I was going to follow. That's basically, she hit it on the head there, because if you're having a tax exempt, they dye it so that you're using it on the farm and not putting in your pickup, because people get picked up with their pickups with dyed fuel in it, and they just lost their pickup. And so it's very important out in farm country that, I mean, 99.9% of the farmers do it right. They use the dyed fuel for agricultural purposes on the farm. Not avoiding the tax, because the tax is quite substantial, not avoiding the tax, running it through their vehicle or their pickup. So
thank you. Representative Drazkowski, want to jump in on that?
I would just say that both the testifier and Representative Davids nailed it down, Madam Chair, and don't get caught with dyed fuel in your vehicle.
because they call, Madam Chair, they call legislators at that point.
And by the way, it's been discovered, Madam Chair, that people will steal dyed fuel off of farms just as if they would undyed fuel.
Interesting. Thank you, Representative Slocum. I think those of us in the metro all learned something today.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So thank you.
It's been a learning experience.
Appreciate that. Representative Benson.
Well, Madam Chair, we're still waiting for a quorum.
We have a quorum.
Oh, then I won't ask my question.
Well, that's up to you, but I'm going to go ahead, if I may, and move House Bill 2277 before us. Is there a discussion on that bill? Anybody from the audience who wants to testify on that bill? Okay, I'm going to lay that one over. And again, if members have issues with things, you should talk to the Department of Revenue. And of course, you can use House Research to work for you with the Department of Revenue so that if there's any issues, we'll know ahead of time. Otherwise, the intent would be to put it in the omnibus tax bill. And I will now move House Bill 2278 before us. Is there public testimony on House Bill 2278? If not, questions. Representative Draskowski, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Article 2, Section 12, the valuation of land with a conservation easement. Madam Chair, there seems to be a fairly large amount of controversy around that being in this bill and the department's classification as to this being actually a technical issue, and it rises out of a piece of legislation from last year. So I would ask, Madam Chair, if this could be removed from the bill and receive some more in-depth discussion later.
Thank you, Representative Draskowski. And Representative Davis and I had a conversation about that very item just a little while ago, and I anticipate that is the one piece in this bill that may just not survive in the omnibus tax bill. I think we'll need to learn a little more from the Department of Revenue and talk to the Senate and working with House Research to think through what the Department of Revenue is thinking there. But if you want to explain it to us, Ms. Starr, I do think there are a number of members who are tracking that issue who I think feel maybe the department just, I can't, you know, this, I'm not speaking for anyone, but I've picked up that people feel that maybe the department is interpreting last year's bill a little more aggressively than was intended, at least by the Senate. And I have not talked to Senator Scoy about that. I need to talk to him about that. But if you can tell us what the Department of Revenue is thinking on the issue Representative Draskowski raised.
Sure. So, Madam Chair, Representative, as I understand the bill is drafted, what it's trying to do is clarify that the law changes on conservation easement from last session only apply to conservation easements entered into after May 23rd, 2013. That is how the department is currently administering the law as passed last session, and we'd like this clarity added to the law for transparency purposes for everyone involved.
And Representative Draskowski, if you know, you and I should probably talk to folks about this further, because I think, you know, I don't on the record know for sure, but I think there are those who will say that they thought it meant not just going forward, everything. Is that kind of your interpretation, Representative
Draskowski? It is, Draskowski? And that's where the controversy lies, Madam Chair. As a matter of fact, when it was passed last year, within a week or two after session was ended, people did look at the language, and it looked plainly to say that easements entered into at any point in time, including those retroactive, seem to be reflected in the law that was passed. So if we could have more in-depth discussion on this later, yeah. I think it would be healthy.
That would be great, and I think we'll do that going forward. I think, you know, this tax committee probably wants to take a position on that one way or another, because the department's trying to implement it, and if we think it meant everything, we can affirmatively say that. I think it would be helpful for us to communicate with the Senate, too, and I know it was a bipartisan effort there as well. So I look forward to working with you on that, so thank you. Other questions on this bill? Okay, if not, we're going to lay this over.
Madam Chair.
I'm so sorry. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to the same point that Representative Draskowski mentioned, can the department tell us how many new conservation easements would fall under after the May 23rd, 2013 date?
Ms. Starr.
Madam Chair, Representative, I don't have that number on me, but I could ask our Property Tax Division if they could help give some context to that.
Sure.
That would be great. And yeah, for the and if you can, when you get that, if you can just give it to the Representative Anderson and the committee, we'll get it to everybody too. So thank you, Representative Anderson.
And Madam Chair, do you think that we could get that by location as well, either by county? I think that might be helpful.
Starr?
Madam Chair, Representative, I will ask our property tax division for that information.
That'd be great. Representative Anderson.
And Madam Chair, just to help, can you help me refresh my memory? Was this an issue of each county was doing it differently, and so we told the counties, no, this is how you we want you to do it. It's by best use, or what was the rationale?
I'm going to ask House Research to talk about this a little bit. I think there are a few things going on, and one of the issues, as I recall it, is the concern in the local units of government that are dealing with this issue that folks who are getting an easement are also getting a valuation decrease, and the net effect of that from the folks who wanted this change was that other property taxpayers then pay higher property taxes. So, you know, that was part of it. So I'm going to ask Mr. Hines or Mr. Michael to jump in and kind of walk through what was going on in that provision. Representative, or Mr. Hines.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, my understanding of the of the issue is as the chair described it. It was the Senate initiative that had to do primarily that the main argument they made was that these properties were getting the advantage of the being paid off and for the easement, and in addition getting a valuation reduction, and in turn that was increasing taxes on local taxpayers up there, and that was the reason for wanting this provision, as I understand it. But I don't believe there was a lack of uniformity in how it was being enforced, although how much reduction there has been, the assessors were given, might have been an issue, but I don't recall that being brought up.
Representative Anderson.
And Madam Chair, and I don't know if the department could provide this, or Mr. Hines, if you have this kind of data available, but I would also like a list of all of the properties, even the ones prior to May 23rd, 2013, that have conservation easements that for that purpose, too.
Ms. Starr.
Madam Chair, Representative, I'm not certain that I can procure such a list. I don't know, but I will ask the Property Tax Division for the help.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
Mr. Hines, do you have anything to add to that?
Mr. Hines.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, I don't. I would be depending on the department to come up with something, too.
Okay. Representative Anderson? No. Okay. Representative Davids and Draskowski. Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for putting at least a slow or a hold on Section 12, Article 2. That is kind of like a really big deal. Mm-hmm. And I think if folks want conservation easements out there, you can't charge them the highest amount of property taxes if they're going to do that when it's taken out of production. But anyways, two other things very quickly, and so thank you, Madam Chair, for that. I've had some folks come to me on the timeliness of posting bills and so forth, the 24-hour rule and so forth, so just kind of a little heads up, a reminder on that. There's been some coming in a little bit later. So, but I'd also say it's a very sad day at the Department of Revenue, because then when I chaired this August committee some years ago, there was a gentleman from Caledonia, Minnesota, home of the Mighty Warriors, that was the assistant commissioner of revenue. And his name is Matt Mossman.
Yes.
And Matt Mossman's a brilliant guy, so every time Commissioner Franz would come before the committee, I'd say, why isn't he deputy yet? And so pretty soon he's the deputy. So he's deputy commissioner, and I understand that today is his first day as deputy chief of staff at the governor's office.
Yes.
Is that correct, ma'am?
Ms. Starr, yes.
Madam Chair, Representative, yes, that's correct.
So I would just say there's a huge loss to the Department of Revenue, a huge loss. Deputy Commissioner Mossman is a brilliant, brilliant guy. And his family has great representation, I might add. But in all seriousness, there's going to be a big hole there. So whoever has to fill that position, it's going to be tough. And so now I'll be working on the governor, because I believe he's deputy chief of staff. My question to the governor will be, why isn't he
chief of staff?
Chief of staff.
Yeah, right.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Dabney.
That might be because one of my constituents is the new chief of staff for the governor.
Uh-huh. Madam Chair, Representative Dabney, who is that?
Jamie Tinchner.
Tincher.
Tincher, excuse me.
Oh, well, they'll be good together.
And she's got cute little kids, too, little ones. But that would explain why Mr. Mossman is against.
Madam Chair and Representative Dabney, she better watch out.
Thank you for that. And before we jump to Representative Draskowski, I should say on the 24-hour issue, I hear you loud and clear. This week we're just doing studies. We're not doing bills. Okay? I mean, the technical and policy bill. I mean, they're not our members' bills. They're not our members' bills. And so that's this week. We'll do the angel credit study, and then we'll hear the governor's on session, and then I asked House Research to work on sort of a technical House on session too. So we'll hear those, but then we're going to start up with members' bills for the omnibus tax bill after that, and I just should remind members of this committee that, you know, we're actually getting fairly close to deadline already, because the division wraps up in a few weeks and then it's off to the omnibus tax bill. So if you have something for your community or something you're working on that you don't have in yet, please put a jacket on it and get it in, because we're going to start hearing a lot of bills quickly. So thank you. Representative Draskowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was caught up in Representative Dabney's animation about the size of those kids. Can you show us again, Representative Dabney? Oh, it's a little bigger this time. Okay. I saw a real little one before. Madam Chair, just maybe to amend Representative Anderson's request to the department, could we also have those numbers by jurisdiction retroactively, too, if you could provide those as well?
Ms. Starr, I think we want everything you guys can give us, basically.
I hear that loud and clear.
Good.
And I will do my best.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Further questions? And there, I'll ask one more time for public testimony. If not, I'm going to lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill, and we're clearly going to take out the conservation easement part. That's clear, and see if this committee can come up with another clear approach so that the department has direction. I want to refer a number of bills down to the division and then ask someone to move the minutes, and then we're going to adjourn. So I'm going to move to division 2697, 2689, 2669, 2632, 2580, 2532, 2488, 2483, 2468, 2465, 2457, 2450. Representative Dabney, you're going to be tired. 2432, 2429, 2426, 2422, 2420, 2399, 2321, 2308, 2303, 2261, 2242, 2195. I didn't know there were that many property tax bills introduced, but there they are. And that's in addition to the list we already did once. So with that, is there a motion for the minutes of the 17th, February 25th, and February 27th? Thank you, Representative Davids. Any questions on the minutes or changes?
Madam Chair.
Where did that come from? Oh, Representative Simonson.
A question on the minutes on page 2, where we talk about Representative Liebling requested a roll call on the A9 amendment, and it has a listing of the members voting aye and nay.
And are you, what date are you on?
I'm on February 27th.
February 27th.
Page 2.
Are you missing?
I'm seeing more nays than ayes, and the minutes reflect that the motion prevailed. And I don't remember. So I don't have the answer.
I don't have those minutes for some reason. I don't have the minutes. Okay, so I remember the amendment. That was Representative Liebling on the telecom, correct? Is that what everyone remembers?
Yeah,
I think that did pass unanimously.
Yeah, it was a Liebling-Davis amendment.
Yeah, so
right, that was the Liebling, and there was a roll call, and it was unanimous. And then on the final bill, Representative Garofalo removed his roll call, right? Is that everyone remembers it? So can we just have the minutes reflect that, Ms. Kunisch, that first roll call is unanimous? Is that acceptable to everybody? So we'll bring those minutes back, get that amended, and so can we amend the motion, Representative Davids, for the other two sets of minutes? Okay, so we'll do the other two sets of minutes. Questions on those? Okay, if not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those minutes are adopted. Thank you, everyone, and we are adjourned.